Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, coming to you from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization. And Dave Buehner also here with me today. And as we all like to do, today we're going to deal with some controversial subjects. And Dave, the controversial subjects, if I was to weed through the 3,700 programs we've done for the last 10 or 11 years, the most controversial stuff that tends to get the bad guys all up in arms with us are evolution, feminism, and homosexuality. These are the trinity of the humanist, I think. I mean, I think there are a few other things that would irritate the left, but those that dominate the worldviews of the Western world are holding with everything they possibly can to the orthodoxy of evolution, feminism, and homosexuality. You mention those three things, Dave, in anything of a negative light, and you're probably going to get registered on Right Wing Law Watch.
Right, and we have been registered on Right Wing Watch. Kevin, these three things represent to me the metaphysics, the epistemology, and the ethics that a sovereign God possesses, yeah. Or we learn from him. When you think about the metaphysics, how we got here, what's real? Well, evolution has a different claim than the Bible has and God gives us. Feminists have a different ethic that's in place. Well, actually, the homosexuals have a different ethic that's in place.
Well, it's a different social theory. It's a totally different social theory. And their social theory, the feminist social theory is, hey, let's get rid of all men, get rid of all family, get rid of all marriage, and get as much free sex going as possible, kill as many kids in the womb as possible, maybe even infanticide, that would be fun. And let's see what happens to a social society if you destroy manhood, destroy fatherhood, destroy family, destroy sexuality, destroy a social theory that we've been working with for the last 5,900 years. Let's try destroying everything in terms of a previous social approach to life on planet Earth and see what happens. Yeah, that's feminism.
Kevin, that's the attack on the dominion mandate. Don't go populate the world. Kill your children. Don't take dominion. Be an environmentalist. You know, try and keep the world as undominated by humanity as possible. It's just an assault on all those things that God has declared good.
Ray Comfort has waded in on the Holy Trinity. And, of course, he did the video called 180 on abortion. Remember that one?
Yes.
And that's part of the Holy Trinity. Abortion being the sacrament of the feminists.
Right. And more and more, they're calling it sacred or
they
holy.
Are. They're calling it the sacred sacrament, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. They're saying that laws against the sacrament or sacred abortion.
Yeah, they call abortion sacred. I think Nancy Pelosi called it sacred.
Yes.
The sacred right. Yeah. Amazing. Okay. So, again, this is the Holy Trinity of humanism, evolution, feminism, and homosexuality. So Ray comes out with a 38-minute documentary on evolution. No surprise there. You kind of wades right into the middle of it all, Dave. I mean, it's amazing. Evolution versus God made everybody mad on this one. He made everybody mad. He says he got 46,000 comments on YouTube so far. Normally he gets 20, 30, or 40, he says. Now he's got 40,000 comments on YouTube, and they're not all happy.
Well, I would think not. I wouldn't be happy either if I found out that I offended a holy God and he's going to come back and judge me today.
That's not exactly it. They're offending the evolutionists. And, of course, the evolutionists based everything on this. Dave, even feminism, homosexuality, all this sort of is all resting on the assumption there can be no God because we've evolved out of the cosmic slime. There is no purpose. There is no ultimate absolute, et cetera. They have no origin in God. If they can cut off the creator and the metaphysic, they have no ethic to worry about. And if they have no ethic to worry about, without God, as Dostoevsky would say, all things are possible, meaning every single moral outrage you can imagine is completely explainable and justifiable if God does not exist. That was Dostoevsky. But anyway, Ray Comfort, little guy in the Emperor's New Clothes, is just making everybody so mad. And apparently he's interviewed some of the big shots, Richard Dawkins, P.G. Myers, or whoever the guy is, and they're all upset. They said he's left a lot on the cutting room floor. Yeah, I said a lot of things. You know, I gave him a lot of evidence and stuff, but he didn't use it. And Ray's saying, oh, you want the stuff that wound up on the cutting room floor? Fine, you can have that too. He's saying, no big deal. You can watch the raw footage if you want to. It's no big deal. There's no evidence anywhere. You're not going to find any evidence. Not like any of these guys finally came out with a mechanism for how a rock turned into a human being by total chance.
No, Kevin, I read it this morning. Life started on Mars. That's their answer now.
Life started on Mars. Oh, okay. All right, that's the answer. So where did that come from, and how did it start? Say again, no mechanism. No mechanism. They have no mechanism. They have no evidence either. Nothing in the fossil record. No 50,000 transitional forms that determine how a non-lung heart animal turned into a lung heart animal. I'm sorry, there are no 50,000 missing links found in fossil layers. There are none. They have none. They have a little piece here, a little piece there they put together, kind of jammed together, and say, see, I got one. They have a little bit of that here and there. But no. Rational people, with brains, rational people, they would demand evidence. Okay, they would like to see it happen in a laboratory. They would like to see multiple changes over time that would indicate how in the world we got reproductive systems, male-female reproductive systems out of abiogenesis. Okay? We want to know how that happened. And we would love to see the multiple sequences by which that came about. And don't give me this punctuated equilibrium garbage. It's not a mechanism. Nobody knows what it is.
Punctuated equilibrium?
That's where the princess kisses the frog. Yes. That's punctuated
equilibrium. Abracadabra, poof.
Yeah, and then the frog turns into a prince. That's punctuated equilibrium. Okay? That's what that is. A massive influx of order and energy and sounds like a creative force. Sounds like something supernatural. Anyway, whatever these evolutionists have is nothing. And Dave, I think they're getting more desperate. I think they're getting more desperate because honest scientists are abandoning the theory left and right. Honest scientists. I mean, people who finally say, okay, all right, you guys pulled the wool over my eyes too much. Typically, in every other field of interest, in engineering, chemistry, physics, etc., we usually say, in God we trust, all else bring data. That's what engineers and scientists have been trained in every other area, except in evolution. In God we trust, all else bring data is pretty standard. I mean, that kind of thing is said by lots and lots and lots of scientists and engineers and people with brains who do science, okay? But now, we don't get that for evolution? No. Honest scientists are leaving the theory left and right because they're seeing that the probability theorems, the statistics, don't work. They don't work. You don't get life out of 4 billion years with just a couple of sequences, okay? Without any data in the fossil layers and without any mechanism proven and without anything ever
Kevin,
been replicated
Kevin,
in laboratory.
Worse. It's much, much worse than that. It's much worse than that. Using the data of acknowledged scientists and mathematicians like Fred Hoyle. Sir Fred Hoyle, no friend of theistic systems. Yeah. But Sir Fred Hoyle understood that living cells, the very simplest living cells, are very complex and joined together in a precise sequence. So he calculates the odds of 20 amino acids appearing in the correct sequence to form a single enzyme. The chance of that happening is 1 times 10 to the 20th power. Now, even the simplest living cell requires 2,000 of those. So for those of you who are in public school, I'll do the math for you. That's 1 times 10 to the 40,000th power. How big is that? How big is that, do you think, Kevin?
That's real big, Dave. That's a lot of zeros. That's enough zeros to go to the moon and back and then back again and twice and three, four times.
It's way worse than that. Mathematicians say 1 times 10 to the 50th is a mathematical impossibility. In fact, if you were to take the whole known universe,
okay,
the entire universe.
You mean all the galaxies and all that stuff?
Yes, yeah. All that we think that is there.
Uh-huh.
And you were to add up every subatomic particle, you wouldn't even be close.
To that number.
No, not
to
even
that
close.
Number. You're not even close to that number, which is the probability that one amino acid would appear out of nothing.
Right.
Order out of disorder. Right. Okay, evolutionists are getting way, way more desperate, friends, because they have no data. They're finally getting so desperate that they're having to comment on Ray Comfort's YouTube.
Kevin. Every subatomic particle in the known universe is merely 1 times 10 to the 80th. 80. Not 40,000th.
Yeah.
80th.
Okay.
Now okay. People are not very good at math.
Let's get back to that 1 to the 10th okay. to the 40,000th. Now, what is that?
Yeah. So 1 times
the probability
10 to the
81st okay.
is way, way bigger than 1 times 10 to the 80th.
Right.
It's not
by
like,
a factor of 10.
By a factor of 10.
Right.
So 81st would be 10. 82nd would be 100.
Right.
40,000? Well beyond the possibility. That would be like, they say in this one article, that would be like shooting a random bullet somewhere in the universe, unaimed, and hitting a target from 20 billion light years away and hitting it like in a square inch, you know. What are the odds of that happening? Not very good. Not very good. Now, that gets you the first life form. That gets you the simplest life form.
And that was supposed to have happened, what, like 800 million years ago, which is totally bogus.
On Mars, or apparently.
Bogus. And
that's just one of the problems. One of the problems. So honest scientists are taking a look at the data. They're taking a look at the information theory. They're taking a look at sequences and mathematics. Mathematics not done by Christians, by the way, done by real honest secular scientists. And they're going, not only does this not support evolution, it fights tooth and nail against it and makes it an impossibility.
And I know this all makes Richard Dawkins mad, but I don't care. Richard Dawkins isn't a scientist.
He was already mad.
Richard Dawkins is not a scientist. He is irrational. He's so atheistic, he's irrational. The fool has said in his heart there is no God, and that's where it begins, friends. The beginning of knowledge and wisdom is the fear of God. You abandon that. And eventually, after about 100 years or 200 years, in systems that refuse to honor and to fear the true and living God, will wind up self-destructing intellectually, and that is what is happening right now with lots of these scientists. Thankfully, there are honest scientists out there abandoning the theory of evolution left and right, and they're saying, let's do real science. And so there will be some real science being done. And I don't think that evolution is going to succeed in destroying science on planet Earth. I happen to think that evolutionists will go away. Evolutionists are going to go away. I don't know how many more years they have. Maybe 50, maybe 60, maybe 100 years. Not 200. I can't believe they've got 200 years. Evolutionists are going away, friends. They're not going to last much longer. They're desperate. They're realizing things are slipping, and they're very, very, very desperate. They're hanging on for dear life to try to impose an evolutionary worldview into every university and every public school in America, and they've been doing that for the last 20 or 30 years, but it's not going to last very much longer. Okay, there's more desperation out there, and Dave, more stuff on federal judges declaring anti-gay sermons a crime against humanity. If you can believe that. All right, that's next on Generations. Stay with me. The Generations broadcast, Kevin Swanson with you today, and Dave Buhner also here in studio with me as we discuss some rather outrageous elements of what is happening with the other side pushing back pretty strongly. And Dave, I don't think, you know, what we get with this politically correct pro-evolution, pro-feminist, pro-homosexual thing is going to last much longer anyway. And societies will shift and they'll go different directions in the future, and especially if they're bought into systems that will destroy their science, destroy their social systems, destroy their families, et cetera, et cetera. These things aren't going to last very long. But again, the bad guys are a little desperate, and they probably want to push back a little bit more on those that are probably in the minority but standing for that which is right, which happens from time to time. So here is a story from August 28th. I think this is WorldNetDaily.com, if I'm not mistaken. No, I'm sorry, New American. Here's a federal judge who has declared anti-gay sermon a crime against humanity. This guy, I think, has already said that this organization, this Ugandan organization, has the right to sue an American pastor in American courts for something that he said in Uganda. So this already is somewhat of a violation of freedom of speech and a violation of international laws and national laws. But a federal judge has ruled that a biblically based denunciation of homosexuality is a crime against humanity.
Wait a minute. Wait, you say federal judge. You mean like American?
Yeah, American federal judge.
Kevin, I slept in this morning a little bit.
Yeah.
But was the First Amendment repealed last night?
Apparently, according to this guy.
Because I thought you had a right to speech, and I thought you had a right to practice your religion. And
he is a Bill Clinton appointee, and in his decision in the case of sexual minorities, Uganda, Smug versus Lively, U.S. District Court Judge Michael Ponser held that Scott Lively, an evangelical pastor, was aiding and abetting a crime against humanity when Lively spoke in Uganda and in America against homosexual behavior. Bonzo says that Lively, by publishing tracts and delivering discourses condemning same-sex relationships, was acting as an upper-level manager or leader of a criminal enterprise. Wow. While in Uganda, Lively praised local pastors working to fight the proliferation of sexual activity between those of the same gender, basing his remarks on his interpretation of the Bible's condemnation of such behavior.
Wait. Again, you kind of talk slower for me. It's a criminal enterprise. What laws was he breaking? Was he breaking American laws or Ugandan laws?
I don't know. I don't think this guy knows. I think this guy just says he broke Ponzer's laws.
Ponzer's laws. Ponzer's so it's a Ponzer laws, scheme.
Yeah. It's a Ponzer scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's a 1994 Clinton appointee called Ponzer, and he apparently engages in Ponzer schemes by legislating for the bench very odd things. And here he's saying, hey, some pastor was out in Uganda, happened to turn to Leviticus 18 or 20 or Romans 1 or somewhere, and was preaching. And this guy says, I've never done anything in Uganda except preach the gospel and speak my opinion about the homosexual issue, Lively told the New York Times. So he's in trouble. Apparently he's in trouble, and he does not get the right to free speech in America or Uganda. So wherever he goes, he cannot speak freely according to the Ponzer scheme. Myhat's comments were echoed by Matt Staver, founder of Liberty Council, the organization representing Lively. Quote, this is Matt Staver. Like all American citizens, Lively enjoys a fundamental First Amendment right to engage in nonviolent political discourse anywhere in the world, Staver says. So he's trying to hold on to the fact that Staver has a right, a political right, a First Amendment right to say what he wants to say as long as it's nonviolent. And I'm not even sure what that is anymore.
I'm not sure either. And I'm not sure what the jurisdiction of the judge is. We have an American in another country. And American laws used to be that you had a right to free speech. But when you were in another country, you obeyed their laws. You don't get the same rights in, say, Canada that you would have in America. You have to live by Canadian law. So while he's American in Uganda, if he's not doing anti-American activities, that is, he's not raising up an army to take on America, it would seem to me that the judge has no jurisdiction here. Of course, I'm just a simpleton. When it comes to the law, I think it means what it says.
And you're assuming law, Dave, is objective, that law is a standard, that law is rooted in some ultimate standard. That's what you're assuming. But Dave, these guys have given up on that. This is just completely random evolutionary law. These guys come up with whatever they want to come up with. And, Dave, as you know, evolution has given birth to all kinds of evolutionary theories when it comes to law. And Yale Law School and Harvard Law School has been teaching an evolutionary theory of law for the last 100 years or so. And so now it really doesn't matter what common law says. Doesn't matter what the Constitution of the United States says. We're going to reinterpret that anywhere way we want to, and that's what these judges are doing now. That's why it's important to know the sorts of judges you're appointing to these posts, because increasingly you're getting these judges who have no basis in the Ten Commandments, no basis in moral law, no basis in God's law, no basis in natural law, for that matter, no basis in common law, for that matter, no basis in historical law, no basis in any kind of law, except to say that the gods of the marketplace come in and say the politically correct sin of the day is cannibalism, or the politically correct sin of the day is X, Y, or Z, then we will persecute anybody who speaks against it. Dave, it's interesting that Blackstone, you remember Blackstone, he's the man who encapsulated common law in the latter part of the 18th century in some very important commentaries.
Yeah,
William Blackstone wrote on homosexuality, it's an infamous crime against nature, quote unquote. He's called homosexuality an infamous crime against nature. The very mention is a disgrace to human nature. So to even mention it, the fact that we have gone so far on this radio program to even mention it, it is so disgusting, so reprehensible, so horrific that people in the 18th century would not even want to speak about it in the company of others.
Kevin.
And that's where we are today. Where we are today is, you know, here we are, you know, sitting in Lot's house, Lot's basement in Sodom on, you know, KSDM, Sodom Radio. And we're just trying to retain some level of sense and moral sense in the 21st century. And we have to mention the sin from time to time because we have to live in Sodom on KSDM Radio.
It would be hard to overstate how important Blackstone was to the formation of America. I don't I think he's so fundamental and foundational to the framers and the founders of this country as they come up with law, maybe amongst the most influential. But not only does he say it's a crime, he calls it a deep malignancy, an infamous crime against nature, an offense so dark of nature, the accusation should be clearly made out. He says the very mention of it is a disgrace, but then he goes on to say that the express law determines it to be capital. In other words, the miscreants who commit such things forfeit life.
Ponser would disagree with Blackstone. Ponser would call Blackstone engaging in crimes against humanity there in his commentary on common law.
Yeah, yes, he would.
I mean, Ponser would take issue with Blackstone. Blackstone being a giant, by the way, in the history of jurisprudence. A giant. It's hard to find anybody as important in the history of all of common law and the history of all of jurisprudence than William Blackstone. So who is this Ponser guy? I don't think Ponser is going to make it in the history books.
No, he won't. He won't. He'll fade away. But Ponser is, and I'm reading his opinion right here, right from his opinion. And he says, for the reasons set forth at length below, none of these arguments is pervasive. The first argument, many authorities implicitly support the principle that widespread systematic persecution of individuals based on their sexual orientation and gender identity constitutes a crime against humanity and violates international norms. Well, first off, when does international norms become the rule? The rule is law, not norms, law. But secondly, sexual orientation and gender identity is code. Now, it's a sleight of hand trick here. What is Lively talking about? He's talking about homosexuality. He's saying, don't do this thing. That's something you do. And the judge here is trying to say what you are. And this sleight of hand, he says, because you talk about it, there's widespread persecution against, there's widespread persecution against murderers. There's widespread persecution against rapists. There's widespread persecution against all kinds of people who do bad things.
And Thomas Jefferson said homosexuals should be castrated, which, by the way, one liberal site quoted that and said that's the good news because Thomas Jefferson was lightening the punishment. So
yeah, he's a liberal. He's a real liberal
of the day. Yeah.
When he said that males ought to be castrated and females ought to have a hole drilled through their nose if they engage in that kind of thing. Because, I thought death was a little too serious.
Well, friends, if a federal judge is up against Thomas Jefferson, up against Blackstone, up against Kevin Swanson, Scott Lively, up against anybody with sense who have tried to establish morality based upon some standard of law. If he's up against these people and he's saying these guys are engaging in crimes against humanity, Dave, I guess there's probably going to be some pushback against Christian pastors in the years to come. I mean, I don't think this is going to sustain a Supreme Court challenge, but it might, actually.
I don't know.
You talk about what Kennedy's doing these days. This could very well sustain.
But let's be clear.
Supreme Court challenge.
To the NSA, who's monitoring us. I'd complain to the NSA, but it's actually easier just to say.
Just talk to them. Yeah.
We finally have a government that listens now.
Yeah.
Let me say this. This judge is against Moses, and he's against Paul. That's good enough for me to go with Moses and go with Paul, because they represent the Holy Spirit. That's a God-breathed thing.
You can always throw in Martin Luther, and I've quoted him, and Augustine, I quoted him, and Thomas Jefferson, Blackstone. So you got a lot of good guys on your side.
Right.
Now,
but I'm with the Holy Spirit.
I understand NAMBLA's not with you.
No, I'm with the Holy Spirit here. So, but let me say this, that homosexuality is a crime against nature, and it's a crime against God, and the civil magistrate ought to punish it. There you go. Crime right here.
Done. Okay.
I've done my hate crime for the day.
NSA, make a note of it. Okay, Dave Buhner has just said what he's going to say, and you can do whatever you want to do because people like Nero have been persecuting Christians for a long time, and we're used to that kind of thing. All right, my friends, that's where things are right now, is the bad guys desperate, getting really, really desperate, to the point now where the Macmillan Dictionary, Dave, is redefining marriage. To the point now, Dave, where the Macmillan Dictionary is redefining marriage. The new definition is the relationship between two people, husband and wife, or a similar relationship between people of the same sex. Two people? Why people? That's the first thing that came to my mind is, come on. I mean, you're going to redefine it. You don't want to have to redefine it next year. Because why two things? Why two organic things, maybe?
Why not a set of things?
Two inorganic things?
Marriage is a legal relationship between a set of subjects.
There you go. Yeah.
Material or non-material.
You see, yeah.
It's tough.
That's tough, yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, McMillan trying to redefine. And Walmart is jumping on the bandwagon. Walmart's always been a little bit more of a conservative, family-oriented store, you know.
I think but they were when Sam was alive. I think his kids and his grandkids, not so much.
They've jumped on the bandwagon, and they're encouraging same-sex relationships and domestic partners now. So that's Walmart jumping on the bandwagon. Very, very few, as I said, very few people are opposing the Neuronic agenda. Very few people stand up against Nero. Very few people in the present day will say, you know, I think whatever Nero is doing is a bad deal, even though much of the classical world, much of the pagan world, and of course, almost every Christian who has ever lived would tell you that Nero was the worst tyrant, probably the most immoral person who's ever lived since the beginning of the world. And yet, you know, you have Walmart saying, no, we kind of like the Neuronic agenda. We're right there with Nero. We're there. We're really on board in the decline of Western civilization, the breakdown of sexuality, and the breakdown of the family, the nuclear family.
And, Kevin, the way we get to this place, to where homosexuality is protected, is we first embrace fornication, and no fornicator will inherit the kingdom of heaven either. As a culture, we've embraced that.
Yes.
Walmart was happy throwing out the Hannah Montana stuff. Yeah. And bringing little girls down to decadence.
Yeah.
They were happy with the Britney Spears stuff. We have, as a culture, been chasing fornication, sexual aberrance, the destruction of marriage as fast as we can. So we should not be surprised that the next thing is homosexuality. Okay. The next thing will be pedophilia or bestiality or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised when it happens.
Yep, and it's just self-consistency. I think Walmart's finally saying, we're tired of being a big fat hypocrite if we're going to support the Miley Cyrus stuff and everything Miley Cyrus is doing to lead tens of millions of little teeny bopping girls down the trail to pole dancing and the whole sexual thing. If we're going to do that, then I guess we might as well just bring all of the sexual decadence into the pantheon, and we'll just celebrate it all. Celebrate decadence. All right, so that's pretty much where the mainstream's gone, friends. Boy Scouts are going there. Walmart's going there. It's going to be hard to find anybody towing a line of any sort, in the next 10, 15, or 20 years. But there is one radio program hanging on to some semblance of biblical morality in the 21st century and calling people to repentance on the basis of their breaking God's laws. And, friends, all we're saying is, hey, we're breaking God's laws, and we are not going to endorse it. What we're going to do is call people to repentance on the basis of the fact that they do break God's laws, whether it be the fornicators, the liars, the homosexuals, whatever it is. We're calling people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And please do not despise the blood of Christ, the atonement of Christ, because he came to save us from these desperate sins. And so if you're getting desperate, if you're an evolutionist, you're getting desperate. If you're a homosexual, you're getting desperate. Here, let me encourage you. Go to God. Go to God. God can solve these issues. God can solve these problems for you. God can meet you. God can deal with your conscience that is bothering you. God can save you from these sins. And that's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die. And that, my friends, is the gospel of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. If you'd like to understand the history of what has happened as we have made our way from a position where homosexuality was what Thomas Jefferson and Blackstone defined it. And if you need to understand why we are where we are today, you need to read my chapter on Jeremy Bentham and how he opened up the gates and opened up Pandora's box to some of the most awful things that have happened in the modern world. If you want to know piece by piece, step by step, scene by scene, how this all unfolded, you need to get a copy of my book, Apostate, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. Again, Apostate tells the story of what happened to the Western world. Hey, we didn't wake up overnight and find these things happening. Friends, this has been working its way out over a period of about 200 years, and I outline the entire agenda and tell you the story of the great Nephilim, the great giants, the philosophical giants that brought this about in my book, Apostate. And you can get a copy of my book, Apostate, right now at kevinswanson.com. I have several e-versions available at amazon.com and at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.